Okay, so last week we managed to get through one answer, right? We laid out the problem, the two problems, the theological problem
and the practical.
That was the truth I was looking through, that's not it, right? But the meaning the local problem of dead people, right, of davening by dead people of Dorei Shalom Meitim, as well as the edit problem, the general theological problem of davening through intermediaries, to intermediaries, v'chulei, however you want to understand the Rambam. So we had gotten through, if I remember correctly, we got through the Bach, right? That the Bach solves both problems by contending that the reason that people go to a kever is to be inspired by the space, or maybe as the Ran does it, this is pretty strange, of Kiddushat HaMakom, which is also a little bit weird, but okay, I'm willing to take that compared to everything else. I'm so willing to take that. I'll be honest that, like, the Kever is more a space that is more mu'ad for your tefillah. I mean, sure. I don't know why, but I'm willing to take that. Yalla, yeah.
Well, I think, is he perhaps saying
I'm really bad
more of the Yukaz because it's a place where it provokes thoughts?
Yeah, maybe, but he sounds to say like it's more, but it's a Tohor place. You know what? I don't know what that means, but it's fine. Okay?
Wait, that's
I'm not good at
Tumat Me.
I'm not good. Yes, it is, unless you think that you don't, which is fine. Right? There's a whole, like, halachic Hasidishi tradition that the Kever of Tzadikim don't make you tummy.
Sorry, what?
What? What? Yes!
Oh, is that too much basis, no right? No!
Okay.
What does it say now?
So there's either Gosk of going against the Rambam.
Well, they base themselves on Tosos.
Or they say that...
They base themselves on Tosos.
Wait, so if you're a Kohen, then you...
What?
Oh, no.
What? Bava Metzia Kof Yodaled, I'm a bet. And a few other places.
I haven't done
that so, can you... no, you asked what they're based on. That's what it's based on. I don't know what you're talking about.
What does so say?
Something like that. Anyway, we can talk about this another time. Fine, but anyway, as things go, this is, you know, solves the Dorei Shalom Meitim problem. It solves the problem of davening intermediary, because you're not, right? And it's, we found versions of this in Maharil, right? Again, I think it's where we left off, right? The Maharil had said, Al yasim megabato neged meitim, ha-shokhvim shamach, ivakesh merak Hashem yitbarach, shi'itena alav rachamim b'zchud ha-tzadikim, right? That you should daven in the merit of the tzadikim. I'm really bad at this stuff, honestly. I really am. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, sometimes I try to... I'm just not good at kedushat makom. I don't know what it is. I'm just not good at it. Right, I really try sometimes, like, big adol, like, I value being, like, I obviously value being in this country, and sometimes I feel it, but, like, going to specific, I'm not good at it, right? Like, I just, you know, like, I some people are, like, this whole COVID year, we're, like, it's terrible, I can't go to the hotel, and I'm always, like, I feel like a terrible Jew, because I don't go to the hotel very often, and I just don't feel like I need to go to the hotel very often. So, like, I'm terrible at the Shabbat Makom stuff.
I feel terrible about not being able to go to Haramai.
But anyway. Yeah, that's it. Fine. But anyway. Okay, fine. But I'm willing to do that. And again, this becomes the halachic position in many places. The Bach, the Maharil. So Chayatim, for example, says, V'yazahir ma'och lo yasim ha'gadol l'balo v'akesh ma'itim shekarov ha'devar sh'yeh b'chal v'der reish ha'mitim. The Rahisha says, if you daven towards the dead, then, he hedges, you almost seems like the reish ha'mitim, right? El yitbalel l'kadosh baruch hu sh'yaseh chesed b'zchud ha'tzadikim ha'mitim. You daven in the merit of them. Okay, fine. Mishnah Berurah says this in Tafkuf Pei Aleph. As well, right, Tfilah Nigdalet Sham Yoter, right, it's accepted more there, Ach Al Yassim Megamato Neged Meitim, Ach Yakesh Meshem Yitbarach, Sheitin Rachamim B'Shkod Etzad Dikim Shachan Yafar. But, that was where we left off. The problem is, that as we noted, I don't know if it's the best read of all the sources, where, you know, people are like Yirmiyahu or something, are said to be, or asking the Avot to beseech on our behalf, you know, things like that, or Rachel, last week I think you sang for us, or someone, right, Rachel, whatever, right? It is a pasuk, that's not the point, right? But the song is a, whatever, I have a problem with some of the songs. They sort of take that pasuk and cut it up and just...
Yeah.
Some of those songs that we feel like a badly written, you know, ransom note, you know, like the old style where like you cut out random letters and put it down, you know.
So you mean it sounds like Jewish music?
It sounds like bad Jewish music. Yeah, fine. Hey, like I said, there's Jewish music that I really appreciate, the Chachma. I really did appreciate Hanan Ben Ari's song this week. I thought it was very clever. I thought it was very clever. It was very well done, right?
I have no idea what song.
What? He wrote a book. He wrote a song this week they put out called Cholem Kmo Yosef, which is basically about how everybody in their life can live different scenes throughout Tanakh. And just like basically runs through Tanakh and like picks up qualities from different stories in Tanakh, both good and bad, right? Like things that we feel, things that we've experienced, right? And then, you know, and then right, the last line is about how we find our place in the, right, in the Sipur Atik Yomin, right, in the ancient story, and take the next step in it. It was a very well done. It's like, it feels like those, that part of liturgy at the end of, that we say at the end of Slichot, right? Misha Ana Le, so that's basically, this is like a modern version. It's very good. Right? There is good liturgy. Look, I was talking to someone this week, and he asked me what I think about all the liturgy, Ani Masmud, and Yerushalayim, and I told him, look, I'm not, even though I've been educated by many, I'm really not, as he said, I used way too fancy words for this, but that's fine, right? I was like, I'm not a liturgical, no, that was Ari, that was Ray Wasserman who said I used too fancy words for this, right? He's like, I'm not a liturgical conservative, right? I really do believe that you can create tefillot. Problem is it has to be good tefillot. I do think that a lot of the stuff that will be created are not good, because I personally don't like the idea that our liturgy is you take a paragraph of tefillim and sing it to Hatikva, and now you think you've created Zionist liturgy. That's not how this works, right? I mean, that's very nice, but like, I just want someone to get up and write good liturgy. Write good liturgy, and I'm totally there with you. All the Rishonim wrote good liturgy, you just got to do it well. You know, and then I said, stop getting living rabbis to do it. Give it to, like, Yishai Rebo. Let him write good liturgy and go move on, because he's actually good at this, because he's a singer who is inspired by Torah. You know, that has a better chance.
I like the POC in Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, those were written a long time ago and by people who cared about this stuff.
Well, yes, yeah, to your point.
Yes, that's what I said to him. I said, the Rishonim all did this. They cared about poetry, right? So they wrote nice liturgy. If you're going to write liturgy, do it. Just do it right. Get somebody who can do it. Yeah. It's like, in general, my rule in life. If you're going to do something, do it right, right? Don't do it this half-hearted, like... I was like, I'm really Zionist. I really believe in this stuff. Just...
Don't just believe the Gemara, you can memorize the entire thing, then you can make a CM on shop.
Yeah, that too, but that's not what I'm saying here. I was like, all the Rishonim, I was like, even Rabbeinu Tam, right, who's like the Talmudist par excellence, wrote liturgy, okay? He wrote poems, he wrote fugitive, everyone did it. It was something you did, right? I didn't say I could do it, right? I just want someone to do it well. That's all. I don't ask that much, right? Just someone write it well. Yalla. Okay. So what do we do with this, right? Because as we said, the Kalev Gemara, so it's a Lamed Dalet. Again, let's just cause her how this doesn't work so well. The language of Gemara, Avotai Bikshu Alai Rachamim, my forefathers, daven for me. Tanin, where the guy turns to his father. Abba, Abba, please help me, right? So to Yudalid, right? Fine, we talked about it a little bit, etc., right, by Moshe's grave. And then a lot of the tefillot that people, in fact, say, Maran Machpelah, and in Meiron, Gevalt, by Rosh Hashanah, by Yochai's Kever, they do daven this way. And in fact, in the Riben Yakar, which is, right, major Rishon, Ran Tefillah wrote, Vivedek Barot Yifalel Tfilah LaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'achar Kach Yomar LeMeitim Hitpalalu LeFanav SheYikabel Tfilotenu. Right? Say to the dead, pray for us so that our prayers will be accepted. So there clearly is another view out there which was taken by major, major, major Rishonim. So within that you have to deal with two problems. One is the Doreish Elamitim problem, and the other is the Doreish Elamitim problem, and the other is the potential heresy problem. Right? Okay. So let's deal with those in order. So Maharam Shik tries to deal with the Doreish Elamitim things. So here are his answers. Don't yell at me. Please don't yell at me. Okay? One, the answer to Doreish Elamitim. Chada, the tzadikim chayim v'kayimim haynu v'nishmat v'hem. One is, tzadikim aren't really dead, because their souls are alive.
I've heard that before. Okay. Leaving apart that, so like the thing in Pinus, which if you can just go into a cemetery, that's just a random cemetery,
You're right, problem. Okay. So, second is Shein Mivakshim Mehem El Ikartil Rishava Bagashahu Meit Hashem. Right? Now, the second one is we're not really davening from them. The second possibility is we're just not davening from them. We're davening from God, Bishuta. Now, obviously, if you say that,
no,
right. His other answer is they say he says also, where's that line, that it's not a problem because you're davening to their souls. Okay, I'm not sure where does he say this. One second.
So you're not davening to the dead body, you're davening to the soul, so it's not.
One second. Where is that line? I don't see where they're talking about this line. Okay.
No.
No, I don't know. Right. However, he pushes, right? He does push back because, you know, the Gemara explicitly says in the Yerushalmi that you shouldn't ask from intermediaries, right? Like Michael and Gabriel and the like. So what do you do? So he argues, one second, I hate when things, this printer is the worst printer, it just cuts off like, right, so he argues that maybe what it is, it's, why do we go? Really, you're davening to Hashem bizchutam. Why do you go? Because you want the tzaddikim basically to feel your pain, which is also going to impel God, right? So again, he takes sort of a middle approach that somehow they know what's going on, they feel pain, but there's something like that, right?
You're not giving them anything, you're just kind of having them, like, they acknowledge your pain, and God acknowledges
it. It's like they see a red flashing light when you're in pain. They don't feel
right,
pain.
Or maybe they are... Right? The second possibility, however, and this is what many people say, is that many people argue, not like the Rambam, that basically they don't have a problem with davening, as he quotes here from Sefer Chassidim, that, no, maybe we just don't pass like the Rambam, that you're not allowed to daven to the dead, that's true, but you can daven that they should help your tefillot go up to Shamayim, that, according to some, is in fact legitimate. So another possibility is that they just think,
isn't that by definition?
Right, and that's what Sefer Chassidim says, right? So Sefer Chassidim says, "Gam shirakshim mehem heimit ba'alim al ha'chayim." They daven for the living. Right? So possibility two is to say Doreish Elamitim, and the problem, the theological problem, is to daven to them. But here you're not davening to them; you're davening to God. But maybe, right, you are davening that the dead should help carry your tefillot up, which, again, the Rambam doesn't like it, but the Sefer Chassidim and others clearly do. The Munkacher Rebbe, the Minchas Elazar, She negates the problem of Doresh El Hamitim. Okay, again, it's a little bit cut off here. But he argues that the only problem of Doresh El Hamitim is basically when you go in and you fast and, you know, all those things that we mentioned in the Gemara, right? They would fast and put themselves in the cemeteries, v'chulei v'chulei. And that is problematic.
So the only problem is exactly when you go, what we know they did.
When they go, right, what they did in the Gemara, exactly. What the Gemara mentioned, that you can't do. Right, that's his first point. As for the theological problem, one second. And then in terms of the theological problem, he says that, look, Tanakh tells us all the time that they went to living people. Right? They went to Nevi'im to daven on their behalf. Right? And therefore, since you can go to them in their lifetime, right, and having, right, saying, asking them to say Mishabayach for you is not a violation of this problem. So Tzadikim, again, he builds on this idea that even in their death, they're considered whatever, b'chayim, therefore it's not a problem. And again, the Gesher HaChayim goes in this way, she'at tzadik v'motom nikra chay, v'tum mutar l'vakesh matek sham lish, l'myam lit, v'at v'yotinu v'yosif gam hu tfila Hashem yitbarach. I don't know what's going on behind me. fine. So what do you get? L'sikum. Right? They summarize it very nice. Right, everyone agrees you can go to the, right, to the Beit HaKvarot. The Maril Ba'chaya, the Mishneh Brura, say that it's davening in the Sechut of the Tzadikim or channeling the Kedusha of the Makom. And others, however, defend it and say, no, it really is mutter not to daven to them, but to daven that they should take your tefillot in, and that's the way Rabin Yakar understands it, Maharam Shik, Minchas Elazar, etc.
Okay, so let's go back to
the... But the Maharam Shik, right, had that middle position of being Machmir and saying, if you don't want to do that, then do the middle ground, which is daven that they should take part in your tzar, right? Daven and hope that the Tzadikim daven along with you, right? So you have two and a half positions, right? You daven completely by yourself and you're inspired by the Makom, Kedusha Makom, or it's totally mutter to go to intermediaries, or you daven by yourself and you hope that they join in your pain as some sort of middle ground. Yes?
So can we go back to, I think it was the Moon Council. He was the one that said that the only problem is if you do exactly what the Gemara says and China says that you should do. Or did I just completely miss?
No, I mean, you can try reading this whole thing, but it sort of got cut off. Here's this trivia. Want it? Good luck.
I have no idea. I'm probably not going to make much.
I mean, it's a bit cut off, and it's a little bit fine. Okay. I want to sort of run through these. So, okay, let's move then to the question of Malachim. Okay, let's quickly try. Now, obviously, Malachim doesn't have the Doresh El Hamitim problem, but it has the intermediary problem. So let's just review. Where do we see that people do this? So we have Machnesi Rachamim, we have Barchuni L'Shalom, and on and on and on in different Tulot. The Rambam says, what does the Rambam say about it?
Totally Usur.
Usur! Very good. Usur, yes. The Rambam says it is Usur. And as we saw, the Yerushalmi seems to say this as well. Lo Yitzavech, Lo Michael, Lo Gabriel. Just dive into God and he will answer you. Great. Okay. And the Ramban makes it very clear as well in the drasha of Torah Hashem Tamimah. He says the second type of Avodah Zarah, or one of the types of Avodah Zarah, is la'avod l'malachim, which means afil l'tpaleh lahem l'derech zeh aser lanu lomar machni, right? La'aser lanu lomar machni zeh rachamim, right? Exactly. This is exactly what's problematic. It's part of Avodah Zarah, and that's why many people oppose saying machni zeh rachamim. Rav Chaim Volozhin famously also oppose saying Barchuni l'shalom for that reason. However, as we saw with the dead people problem, there are many sugyot that don't imply this, like the Gemara we saw in... Sure, and then the Gemara we saw in... of the Malachim, right, speaking a language the Malachim can understand, and not in Aramaic, which, as Rashi there says, sheyisayehu malachei asheret levakesh rachamim v'shelo yulo mastinim lamalach, that you want the angels to bring your tefillot up, and so that you won't have anyone fighting you in heaven, and even proved it from the other Gemaras that we talked about of needing a proclus in defense attorneys up in heavens. And as we saw, it's not just Malachim that we do this. We do this from, right, living people as well. And that was from where we saw in Bava Basra that you go to Tzaddikim, right? So what do you do with this? We have all types of things. So how do you deal with it? So again, to summarize it quickly, obviously one way to do it is to say it's usher.
Right. Do it.
Yes. A second way to say it is, look, it is usher to do it to angels, but it's mutter to daven, to ask tzaddikim to daven for you, because the problem with angels is that you might end up worshiping them, which you're probably not going to do to a live human being where you really can't ask him to daven on your behalf.
Probably.
And that's the position of the Mabit. And the Maharal and the Chasam Sofer also go in this direction and say, look, we don't daven to Malachim, but asking a tzaddik to daven for you, that's not a problem because we're all one people, right? That's very different, right? We all are in this together. That's a very different phenomenon. However, there are some, like the Reben Yakar, who actually think that davening to Malachim is problematic, but davening to the dead is not problematic because, as we saw, the dead are considered alive. The dead are not dead. Right, exactly. But despite all of this,
davening to them or asking them to.
So on the other hand, there are many who think that no, just like we defended it by the case of the dead, right? That there are many who think that you're allowed to daven, not to the dead, but to ask them to be intermediaries. Just like you see in Rashi, Rashi seems to be okay with the exact same thing, but by angels. And for example, Rav Asher Weiss, who often does defend Hasidish Menhagim, and they are much more into these, you know, Machnisei Rachamim type things. He limits it farther, and he says the only problem is Einanu Mitbalim L'Malachim B'Kabbalat Ol Ve'Elohut. Right? The only problem of davening to the angels is davening in a way that you accept authority from them. But in fact, there is no problem of asking them to bring in your tefillah. Right? So just like you have this machloket by the dead, you have the same machloket by Malach. Okay, but we have time for this. Can you just pass my bag for a second? I didn't think I'd get this far, but the truth is that once you set up the models, I don't think I want to pain you by reading through all these tshuvot inside. They get pretty painful after a while. But very quickly, they get painful.
Oh, no.
What?
Fear of time. I actually is starting to think that the davening at the kever arguments are making sense.
I mean, they make a little bit of sense.
I mean,
okay, but let me just polish it off by moving to the case. It's 9 o'clock. I was just like, oh, maybe that's
you
a siren.
You're so much out of this recording.
I'm not cutting anything out of this recording. But let's go to the Talmud of the let's just polish this off with the question of tefillah of a Talmud Chacham. Okay, so again, for many people, this is not a problem at all, as we saw. Right? Many people thought the dafs are going to the Talmud Chacham. That's normal. Like, people went to Nevi'im all the time. They're alive. They're davening on your behalf. They're not an intermediary. You're part of the same pain. Right? And that's what they're davening. And that's what the Chacham Sofer says, and the like. And you find that in many of the Rishonim, that they really do think that that's what the Tzaddik is doing for you. So, example, you look at Rabbeinu Gershom. He says that Yelech Eitzel Chacham v'hu yach berena. He will atone for you, right? Shemavakeh Rachamim Hu Yatzilenu. He'll save you. The Marsha says the same thing, but Lashon Rabim, Kedamin and Harbeis Luchol Makom. Why do you say this? Because God has many messengers. V'ich Chacham Yechbara and Mamash U'Mavakeish Al Kaparat Avon. Well, Zesta Machmor Marsha Deit Tzvila To Be'Orpanei Melech Malkol Shalom Noten Lachalav Uchayim. Right? He's dominating for you. That's exactly what's happening. Right? And that's fine for whatever, for the reason Lachlam Sofer said, right, that he's dominating. Right, you're part of this. He's in the pain with you. He's a human being. That's totally fine. Maharal goes farther and he says, why would you do this? Why don't you just daven yourself? He says, "Ketamun chacham lefi madrigata seichel hu elyon al malachei hamaves." I don't know what that means, but he says, "Tamun chacham, because of their great intellect, are supreme over the angel of death."
Okay.
Yes.
I don't know why he would pick that specifically,
but... Chamat melech malachei mavet legodel koach hamelech mo yoter alakaz. Right, whatever. He has power over the angel of death. He's king over the angel of death. Therefore, tzilato misalei kakaz. And therefore, he can get rid of God's anger. Yes!
I mean, I get the initial idea, I think, like, I 100% get, where it's like a Thomas Hossam is in a better position because...
I don't know. What are you asking me? I don't know what that means. However, let's say you're not comfortable. Let's say you're not comfortable. I don't know. Let's say you're not comfortable with this. How would you get out of this? Let's say you didn't want to go in this direction. Let's say you didn't want to go in this direction, so what would you do? So the Miri, and this really doesn't sound like pshat, but if you really want to be a Maimonidean on a soap, you've got to come up with something, right? I appreciate the effort, but I just don't know if I'm convinced. This is how he reads it. Remember, I want to read you the one in the Gemara again, which was, Yelech Eitel Chacham Vivakesh Alav Rachamim. What does that sound like?
You should go to a Chacham and ask him to give you this tea.
Good. This is how the Miri understands it. Lo'olam Yehei Livo Shal Adam Batuach Shetfilak Shehi Naseh Ketekana Mivatel Da Gzera. You should always be sure that prayer properly done can nullify the Gzera. And if someone has trouble or illness in their house, Yelech Eitel Chacham V'yomod heimenu darkfei kilod v'yavakesh rachamim. Did you catch what he did?
He switched what the evacuation is going on.
Yes. You go to him to learn how to daven properly and then daven for yourself. V'yavakesh alav rachamim doesn't mean he davens for you. It means you daven for yourself. Right? And the purpose of the chacham is, now, that is a very fancy grammatical construct going on in that sentence.
It's a great little, like, tiny modification that changes the entire meaning of what you're saying, essentially.
Yes. Now, so again, as we had in each thing, how I... Should I disturb you more? I guess I should. Right? But the majority view, I think, on this one really is that people think, no, you really can go to a loving person. Right? And there's no problem with that. And that doesn't mean you don't daven yourself. It just means, I think most people probably understand more the way the Chacham Sofer does, which is, like, it's not a problem saying Yishaberach, I daven, right? We're all in this together. I also have a vested interest in the people I care about being well, right? So they daven for themselves, I daven for them, right? I mean, that's part of caring for people. Right? I think most people are actually okay with this. Right? Like, I think I'm pretty much okay with it. But I will be honest that people, then when you start seeing what some of the people do with it, well, things get a little bit weird. Because the Gemara in Ksubos, for example, says that, has this line, that kol ha-mevi darom l'tamad chacham ki'ilu makrev bikurim. If you bring a present to the Tamad Chacham, it's like bringing bikurim. God knows what that means. But the Tzitzel-Yezer suggests that it goes like this. The Parsha Bikurim has Hashem's name 13 times. Can I get the 13 midot of God Rachamim? And therefore, if you bring bikurim to a Tamad Chacham, so that he davens for you, it is like bikurim in the sense that it invokes God's Rachamim. Now, this already, I don't know, I'm less okay with this, right? Like, that this is like some sort of...
Wait, hold on. I'm not understanding it the way you're understanding it, I don't think.
I don't really know how I'm understanding it. I don't know. Like, this type of idea of, like, bringing a present to the Rachamim so that he'll daven to you, right? And, like, that's, I mean, you know, I don't
Shem
know.
Likes it when you you treat Tommy Zeh Hakamim with
I'd much rather
with like you care about them.
I'd much rather go in the direction that like showing honor to a Kamakov.
Maybe that's all it means.
It's like a mitzvah.
Yeah, I would have gone in more of that direction, but okay. The Nukah Yosef, by the way, says that the reason you go to him is because of the Kolach HaTorah. That could be. I don't know. Now, the Nachlat Yaakov Yoshua, I don't know who that is, but he's quoted in Daf al-Daf. He asked the obvious theological question, which is what we just said, which is, why are you going to the Talmud Chacham? Daven yourself. Right? I mean, that is the question. So, right, so what they answer in the Daf al-Daf, and I'm not clear to me whether it's from this Sefer Nachlat Yaakov, no, it is from him. So he says, if you understand this, you tell me. What? So he says, nearly Ashev, the Lukute Eitzo says, Zecholaim Baim Evanot, sin comes from, illness comes from sin. Sins are like clouds. Avonot hem b'chinat ananim, shemach sheichem et or ha-shemesh, shal yadaruhua, and therefore they block the sun, which has healing powers. And al yidei ha-tfilin kaper la-avonot, through tefillah you're forgiven for your sin, v'hananim kalim, which thereby gets rid of the clouds, v'holchim, whatever, v'chite v'chav p'sha'echa, and therefore it's like the sun.
Okay, that one's not the worst thing.
And therefore, the reason you go to the Talmud Chacham is because you don't just need your own kapara, you basically want to go to a leader, because since there's like, healing comes from the sun's powers to the world, you need at some level the whole world be forgiven, so that the world be zocha to the healing powers, but you can't have that healing power come to yourself. So you go to Talmud Chacham in order to partake of a general healing.
So can I try to interpret this at least slightly?
Sure.
I'm assuming what he's going for is that, like, if you are a tzaddik, you have this power that, like, you are forgiven, and whatever's going wrong will be, like healed. So you want, so on a personal level, you want to do tshuva to get closer to that. And if the entire world is good, then that power kind of disperses to the whole world, and you're also part of the world. So you can go to the child.
Sure, that might be something like that. Could be. Okay, so let's summarize where we are, and then I'll read you a few pieces from a tshuva of Ramosha, and then we'll be done, okay? So, we saw many Gemara that talk about davening by a kever, davening from Malachim, and davening, and going to a Talmud Chacham for tefillah. In each of them, in one of those we have a Dori Shalmei Tim problem, in all of them we have intermediary problems, okay? So, Dori Shalmei Tim problem, it could be that it's only if you follow the exact formula of the thing, or if you actually daven to them, whatever. One solution to all of these is to say you're never davening to them. By the dead, you're davening in the sort of the makom, in the sort of them, right, in the sort of the dead, whatever it is, right? By Malachim, you're not davening, we just reject all those things, it never happened, right? By the Talmud Chacham, you can go the direction of the Iri, which is he's teaching you how to daven, okay? Alternatively, you say, no, it's not okay to daven to them intrinsically, but it's a mutter to have them act as your intermediaries, and that could explain, right, all three. Now, you could mix and match, right? You could say it's okay to the dead, because they're considered alive. It's not okay to Malachim, because, I don't know. Or it's okay to human beings, because you won't confuse them with divinity. It's not okay to Malachim, because you'll confuse them with divinity. So you can mix and match. The easiest to mix and match is the live person, because the live person is clumps over notes. No, it could just be that we're all in this together, right? And asking a live person to daven for you is, right? He may have certain extra powers, right? He may have co-op of Torah, or maybe as, right, this suggests he's davening on behalf of the community, and people, right, suffer not just as individuals, as community. You know, all things being equal, I think of the three, a living Talmud Chacham, it's not crazy. That doesn't mean you shouldn't daven yourself, right? But it's not crazy. right? Like, he's davening for you. Like, we all daven for other people, right? I mean, people are davening for us, you know, now, because rockets are falling, right? We don't think, oh my God, you are acting as an intermediary to God. We're all like, oh, that's what we should be doing, right? That's part of being in this together, right? So of all of them, that bothers me the least, right? And I think it's the least theologically problematic. We saw the middle position, which is maybe at least in the context of the dead, right? They feel your pain rather than you're davening to them, right? Neither as an intermediary or you're davening the source, but you're davening that they should be, you know, mishtatnif in your pain or something like that. Okay, so that was a summary of that. The last point is on this. I'll just give you Rav Moshe, because Rav Moshe has a bit of a long treatment of this. So he said, this is in Chelek Dalet of Yerdeh, from Dun Aleph, he said, look, in a bati levayer and yan, he said, people come, they ask for brachot, you know, bein rivyat haguf, bein Hashem yitbarachotam b'banim b'banot, bein parnasa, they ask me for, right, success in learning, they ask me for children, they ask me for health, they ask me for all types of things. And I do, I give them a bracha, even though I don't know why I'm zochet to do this, right? I need afshia duly min erkei v'kadmi b'torah masim tovim. I know that I'm not such a big tzaddik. Maybe he knew that. I don't know. I didn't know that. Fine.
What? He's saying the problem is that he's not such a big tzaddik.
Well, okay. So he brings this up, right? And after he goes through this whole thing, right? He says, well, in the end of the day, the reason that you should do it is because one, it's a kiyum of mitzvah v'haftar nelcha kamocha. Right, first of all, this is not unique to Talmud Chacham. Right, davening for someone else, and I said, this is why theologically all of them, I find the Miri bending over backwards here a little bit weird, because Pashtus is a Kiyumim Ma'atlur HaKamocha, it's not for anybody, right? Like, this is not theologically problematic, right? The emphasis on the Chacham is what you have to ask for, but fundamentally asking a human being to daven for you, we do all the time, right? It's part of being a good person, by caring for other people. Right, that's different from dead people in Malachim, right? Live people can actually care about you, right? They can actually have a vested interest in you getting better because they care, and therefore they're dominating not just for you, but because they feel your pain, right? They empathize, and therefore they're dominating, right? That is part of Asarecha Kamocha, right? I mean, I think at the end of the day, that's a very intuitive thing to say. But what about the Talmud Chacham specifically, right? Why, what is the unique thing of a Talmud Chacham, right? It's one thing to say other people can daven for you, but what is this idea of, like, going to a Talmud Chacham? So he quotes the Rashbam, who just says that, look, he's a bigger tzaddik, so God will accept his tefillah more, right? Even though it's not guaranteed, we find many Talmud Chacham who don't get their tefillah answered, still, like,
it's almost I hesitate to use this word, but it's a practical thing.
Yeah, right? So that's one point he makes, right? But maybe it's very simple, right? Everyone should daven. It's just saying that once you're davening, you might as well daven with the people who have more zchuyot. I mean, that's all it means, right? I mean, it sort of makes sense, right? Look, as much as you don't want to, right, believe it, right, as much as, like, it's, like, sounds weird, when you think about it for a second, it actually makes a lot of sense, right? You know? Like, you just, yeah, I mean,
practical.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. And then he notes that it is the Chacham of your door. This doesn't have to be, like, the biggest tzaddik in the history of the world. It means the tzaddik in your door. And then he says, look.
Oh, I was looking for it.
And then he adds another point, which is simply that regardless of what you think about this, and regardless of whether you think you're the right Talmud Chacham, in the end of the day, if someone asks you to daven for them, you should do it. Right? He says, like, this is not an objective thing. Like, if someone asks for Moshe Feinstein because they think he's a tzaddik, he says, it doesn't matter what I think he's a tzaddik. Like, someone's in pain, and they ask me to daven for them. They ask me to care. So, of course, I'm going to do it. Right? Like, there's a very common sense thing to that, which is, at the end of the day, Talmud Chacham or not, if someone thinks you're a Talmud Chacham, or they just want you to daven for them, right, you should do it, because that's what you do, right? That, and he says, in the end of the day, if the person comes and does it because he believes that that's what Gemara said, that you should go and you should ask people to daven. That's also a zchut for him, right? The fact that he thinks that it's powerful to have other people davening for him, that's also important. Now, based on all of this, you would have guessed that chacham doesn't mean necessarily talmud chacham, right? It just means like tzaddik, right? However, Rabbi Yosef Yosef, he thinks, no, it's really talmud chacham, something about the power of Torah, and other people make that diuk as well. So in the Daf Al Daf, they then quote Rabbi Yitzchak Davin Alterhood. I don't know who that is. And he argues the reason that it's a chassid, a chacham, and not just a chassid, and this is, I actually like this, right? This is very, very Maimonidean, if you want, is because you need someone not just going to daven for you, but can help you do tshuva. You need someone who's smart, who can look and say, you know what, in addition to tefillah, let me give you some advice. Spiritual advice, medical advice, whatever, right? Being chacham is because a lot of times what you need is someone ahead of their shoulders to tell you what you need to know. Let me call a b'chino. And in that sense, you go to a chacham. Right, so again, just to quickly summarize it again, of all of them, right, there are these serious theological problems with malach, serious theological problems with mace, halachic problems with a mace. There's much less problems with going to a live person, right? Again, you could go in the direction of Iri and negate it and just say you're going to have him help you learn how to daven. But most people say no. Again, because I think the Pashut sounds like Ramosha, right? The reason you go to other people is v'afzorecha kamoza. Like, we care about each other, and we try to help each other in every way we can. And one of the ways to do that is tefillah. And it happens to be that one of the ways in tefillah is that you want people who you assume that God has a better relationship with, right? To daven. I mean, that sort of makes sense, right? But at the end of the day, you could say that it's special because of Talmud Chacham and Torah and whatever. Or you could just say, look, every human being should do this, right? But in Kfar, you're going to a person, right? Or you go in this direction of Yitzchak Davin Alter, which is, yes, you go to him to daven, but there's also other things that might happen along the way, and that's also helpful. Okay, so that's a brief summary of all this topic. Obviously, I can give you much more, many more makaras on it, but at least we've summarized it. Yeah.
Okay.